Anyway, I hope everyone's doing well out there in KOWS land. I do have on the phone Zelika Rodriguez. And are you there, Zelika?
Yes, Arnold. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And now, Zelika is the Policy and Advocacy Director of SIREN, which is Services, Immigrant Rights, and Education Network down in Santa Clara. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, Zelika, how did you get involved in the immigration issue?
Oh, that's such an interesting story. I actually took a detour. Well, first of all, my family's from El Salvador, and so when they came to this country, they left a war-torn country and came to this country for a better life. There wasn't very much choice because there was so much violence happening in El Salvador at the time. So innately, that's kind of why I'm so passionate about immigrant rights, seeing as my family and myself are immigrants. And also just working, before I came to SIREN, also working with immigrant women, women who had undergone severe domestic violence. And so, you know, talking to them culturally about what that meant, and as immigrant women, what were some of the other struggles now being in the United States, just what that was like for them. And then now just working at SIREN and loving it. I've been there for about, a little over a year. So doing a lot of really good work on trying to pass immigration reform, though that's been kind of difficult. We're still plugging away and trying to make sure that something gets introduced that will benefit the immigrant community.
That's it, at all different levels. I mean, it's been so stalled for so many political reasons no good reasons, let's put it
right.
That way. And how do you see it playing out briefly from this point? What is, where are we going? I know we have the DREAM Act is moving on. Do we have any real comprehensive reform moving?
From what it looks like, no. I mean, the DREAM Act is a component of the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Plan, and it would be, as people are saying, it's a bit of a down payment, right? Something that is going to be it's going to be laying down the ground for larger comprehensive immigration reform legislation in the future. But I mean, we're really excited. The DREAM Act is going to impact a lot of students. About 40% of the students that the DREAM Act will impact are actually in California. So California is going to see a huge is going to be really impacted by that legislation, and as well as ag jobs, which is something else that Congress has said that they would be willing to move forward. But of course, we're hearing very many different things. People are saying that, you know, there are enough votes to pass through DREAM Act, but we don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, we did a really big push with immigration reform just because we think it's time. You know, you have 12 million people who are undocumented currently living in this country.
Right.
And so, you know, with Obama, with everything that happened with healthcare reform, we thought that it was going to be a good shot, even though, you know, with healthcare reform, undocumented immigrants were also excluded. So, you know, we at this point, we had to do some serious evaluation. And so we're hoping that there will be a serious shot for the DREAM Act and immigrant advocates, immigrant rights leaders, community leaders, students are making a really big push to try to see something to see the DREAM Act introduced. But I know that Senator Reid has said that he would consider introducing the DREAM Act in September, but we are not clear if he has enough votes to actually push that through.
Now, it can be separated then from the main immigration reform package?
Yes, yeah. Like I said, the DREAM Act is a component of comprehensive immigration reform. It's going to affect mostly high school graduates that have also attended college or have either done military service in our country. So it is a component. It's a bipartisan bill, and we're hopeful that through seeing the benefits of the DREAM Act, that Congress will also be willing to move forward on comprehensive immigration reform. just because we know that, you know, giving people a path to legalization will obviously encourage them to become even more integrated into society. I mean, immigrants are already paying taxes and are giving, I think there was a report by the Public Policy Institute saying that in 10 years, immigrants, undocumented immigrants, will actually be contributing $1.5 trillion to the U.S. economy, which is a large number. So we're hopeful to see the benefits of DREAM Act, and hopefully that will lay the groundwork to see, you know, more comprehensive reform in the future.
Right. Now, one thing that somebody was telling me about the DREAM Act, that for students, it would enable them to be here, but they wouldn't be allowable, like for Pell Grants and things like that. But if you go in the army, you can get that. So is there some sort of tilt there, or is that just the nature of the beast? Or?
Well, there's a few things there. California actually has tried to introduce their own state DREAM Act since 2001. Senator Gil Cedillo has actually tried to introduce it a few times. Actually, has introduced it. It's passed through the Assembly and through the Senate. And the governor, I think, this year is going to make the fourth time he's going to veto that. Mm. And so that would actually allow students to be eligible for financial aid. And I believe that does include the Pell Grant. So there's the DREAM Act. I mean, there's many components to the DREAM Act. And so, you know, as far as specifically what kind of financial aid DREAM Act students will be eligible for, I mean, I think that's, you know, how they say it, the devil's in the details, right?
Right.
So we're still waiting to see what that looks like. At this point, we don't even know if there potentially may even be a military requirements to the DREAM Act. It's something that's been floating around. Nothing concrete. We really don't think that that's something that people will be supportive of. But, you know, the more conservative have said, you know, that's something that they would like to see, though not realistic.
Right. That seems a little too tilted for me. That's those awful compromises. In fact, talking about politics, you did cut your teeth in California Assembly Majority Leader's Alberto Torrico's office.
I did, and I learned a lot, to say the least. I worked there for about 2 years and learned all about the state budget, learned about the decisions that are being made in Sacramento, and also learned about what was being compromised. I mean, as it is, you know, this year, we're looking at a $19 billion budget deficit. And, you know, part of the decisions that have to be made is what kind of cuts the state is willing to take. Unfortunately, the most vulnerable communities have been and are mostly affected, including immigrants. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that immigrants are eligible, undocumented immigrants are eligible for state programs, but they actually aren't. Mm-hmm. So even just trying to protect the services for lawful immigrants who have been here for less than 5 years has been a struggle. And these are immigrants that have been living here for a really long time, paid taxes, grew up here, you know, are very involved in society, contribute vastly to the economy. I mean, we can't even make sure that they even have access to health care at this point. So the fight is on all different levels, like you mentioned. And even locally, there's a few different like you saw, I mean, in Arizona, things have not gotten, they've gone from, I don't know, bad to worse, I think. And I think the sentiment is spreading, which is another front that we're fighting.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The hysteria, how do you stop that? I mean, that is a tough one once that gets going and it's fed by, you know, the rabid people on TV and radio. That's a tough one.
And their arguments are so strong and they're so organized that, you know, we were just having this meeting today of how do we stop that? How do we challenge those messages, those very anti-immigrant, very racist, you know, just messages that are being put out in the media? And a lot of it is education. You know, like I mentioned, right. A lot of people think that, you know, when we talk about the state budget, oh, immigrants are coming to this country and they're draining our budget. Well, no, that's actually not the case. They're actually spending more and paying taxes that completely outweigh any type of benefits that they're receiving from the state. And you know, just also making sure that people know that immigrants don't come to this country to use our social services, right? They mm-hmm. come to this country to work hard. They have they have other motivations. You know, they want to, you know, make sure that their families are okay in their country, in whatever country they're coming from. So there, you know, there's different motivations, and part of what we're trying to do is change the perspective a little bit, because, you know, immigrants continue to be criminalized, immigrants continue to be scapegoated, and in reality, you know, their contributions far outweigh anything that, you know, anything that we may possibly think, you know, they're here to drain or here to do. So.
Well, and also the fact that America was based on immigration. I mean, the thing is so crazy, you know.
People forget that. People, you know, and, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, if you go far back enough, at some point, everybody who lives here, everybody who, you know, is either anti-immigrant, is an immigrant, I mean, will have immigrants in their family. So let's not be so short-sighted and not have short-term memory loss, which has been hard to get across, but we're trying.
It is, you know, when people just bring up, you know, just such racist sentiments, it's very hard not to raise your voice to the same level, or that temptation to do that. That's the trouble.
Right. And we have to remember that, you know, the United States is built on a foundation of very clear values, right? Fairness, equality, justice. The ability for anybody to pursue a better life. And so I think that when we get caught up, because immigration, immigrants, immigrant rights, it becomes a very emotional issue. It's not even, you know, we can debate legalities till we're blue in the face. We can debate who is entitled to what, but it's not a legal issue anymore. It's not even about entitlement. It's such an emotional issue for people. People feel like something is being taken away from them. In reality, that's not even where the debate should be. I mean, we're seeing things like Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's clearly legalizing racial profiling. I mean, we're going back in time. We had a whole movement called the Civil Rights Movement to get past that. And so we're going back in time, and we just have to remember that, you know, whatever your beliefs are, there are fundamental values that we all believe in, including immigrants. And so getting back to that and not stooping to the level where, you know, we really, really have to remind ourselves of that. That should be something that we're constantly having at the forefront of our minds. And you know, for some reason, like we were talking about short-term memory loss, people forget, you know, that there are fundamental values that we stand for as a country, together, everybody, you know, and just remembering that and not accepting things like, you know, like are happening in Arizona. You know, we are all in agreement that the immigration system is broken, but that is not the way to fix it.
Well, exactly. And especially when you think of all the right-wing people against it, when you think of, what, 1984, when Ronald Reagan did an immigration reform and legalized millions of immigrants. Yet why is it different now? That's the thing, isn't it?
That is the thing, and I think, you know, we can talk about different turning points and different policies that have come up, but I think, you know, 9/11 had a lot to do with this fear. There's fear being spread, and I think that we haven't gotten past that, and we still think, you know, if you're foreign, if you're an immigrant, then somehow you're criminal, somehow you're dangerous, and those two things should not be tied together, and it's been really, really difficult to try to break that. But, you know, we're trying to, you know, make sure that immigrants are also coming out and speaking on what their experiences have been. You know, they've been working really hard. They also get exploited by their employees. They also want their kids to receive a good education. They're all, you know, we're all the same. We're all going through the same struggle, and for some reason, we just, you know, we separate ourselves from that.
Exactly, and well, the fine example is the mosque or the Muslim community center, I should say, near Ground Zero. That's another fine example of that hysteria.
Right, and it's spreading. Like I said, even locally, you know, there's been different things that we've seen, what we've become to see. You know, we have law enforcement who's been very inspired by what's been going on in Arizona, and you know, mm-hmm. we're seeing it locally. You know, in the Bay Area, we're supposed to be very progressive, oh. but yet there is this hysteria that's spreading. There is a hysteria that's spreading. You're absolutely right, and I mean, it's going to take a very serious turn of events to change that. And I think, you know, starting with possibly introducing, debating, and maybe even passing the DREAM Act, I think people will be able to see the benefits of that and hopefully change their perspective a little bit.
Right, exactly. That's just turning the boat, yeah.
Right.
But I suppose, really, the whole situation has been exacerbated by the recession. I have a feeling if it was back in the good old days, per se, it wouldn't have been as intense. But now, because people perceive their jobs are more at threat because of immigrants, that it raises another level. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see that being another component, right? Something else to scapegoat immigrants for. I mean, we also have to be honest. I mean, ever since, for example, the state has been having severe budget crises or deficits, it always goes back to scapegoating immigrants.
Right.
I've never really seen, I don't really remember a time where we've been very happy about having immigrants in our backyard. You know what I'm saying? There's never been this openness. And so I think you're right. I think the economy has exacerbated the situation. But I think racism in our culture, in our society, is very prevalent still.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we had Prop 187, we had Prop 209, you know, now we have Arizona. It keeps feeding on top of each other. I mean, look at what's happening, even, you know, in California with our governors. I mean, did you see the commercials, Meg Whitman's commercials, Poisoner's commercials? I mean, it's just feeding this big animal that's turning into something that we all need to take responsibility and stop.
Yeah, it was really feeding the base instincts of humans. They were scary, or are scary.
Yeah, they are scary. I agree with you.
It's amazing, but that's it. If money talks, and it's hard to get a voice in when people are splashing millions of dollars around every day.
Right.
Now, your own organization, Siren, how do you keep up with that? How do you fundraise? How do you use volunteers? What is the process in what you do?
Well, so Siren is we have three programs that make up Siren. We have our immigrant services program that specifically helps immigrants adjust their status and become U.S. citizens. So we get them to vote, which is one way, right? We begin to politicize people a little bit more. You know, immigrants that have come from different countries don't necessarily are trusting of the government, right?
Right.
And so just, you know, ensuring that they understand that they do have a voice if they choose to have one here. And so if you do become a U.S. citizen, your responsibility is to vote and try to improve the situation of all people, right? That's one way that we get people engaged and involved to make a difference. I mean, you know, we're a nonprofit, so there's only so much that we can do, but we try really, really hard to do that.
Right.
We also have our organizing component that focuses primarily on mobilizing and educating the community on the different issues that are impacting their lives. So, you know, for example, the May Day marches, right? We had over, you know, 2,500 people come out and demand immigration reform. I mean, that's a huge power in numbers that we were able to see. So that's primarily what that program does. They do leadership development. They go out there. They get volunteers. They make sure that, you know, immigrants are creating the power, you know, are creating the change they want to see in the world, right?
Right.
And then there's a policy program, which is, you know, what is my program. And what we do is we monitor local, state, federal legislation that is either pro or anti-immigrant, and we, you know, we do advocacy around that. So we meet with, you know, our city council, our county. We meet with our representatives at the state level, and also at the federal level to ensure that they understand the impacts on the community. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about what's going on in Sacramento, there is a detachment, right? They're making right. decisions for people they aren't necessarily in communication with every day.
Right.
But we are, right?
Right.
So we serve as the bridge to try to get people's voices heard and make sure that, you know, their interests are protected. And making sure that, you know, this person who works day and night, who's being, you know, may potentially be exploited, whose children are U.S. citizens, you know, have the necessary care that they need, have access to education, have access to health care. But like you said, with the hysteria that's spreading, who even knows? I mean, with this whole repealing of the 14th Amendment, there's just there's so many things.
Are you able to work with other agencies and nonprofits and groups to like amplify your efforts?
Yes. So we're actually part of the California Immigrant Policy Center. Hmm. We're one of four partners where we work with the National Immigration Law Center. We work with APOC, which is the Asian Pacific Islander kind of sister organization that does the same thing, but they do more legal work. We also work with CIRLA in Southern California that does exactly the same thing that we do. There's a lot of organizing in Southern California. And so, you know, we're also part of the RIFA campaign, Reform Immigration for America campaign, which has, I believe now we're up to like 750 organizations nationwide that have signed up. And so, you know, they're based in Washington, D.C. So whenever we get the green light, you know, we're all triggered to organize to make sure that we're, you know, we have a united voice, that we have a united message. So we're definitely well connected.
Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it?
Yes, to have a wider impact, definitely. Connections, coalitions, and also, more than anything, having the community involved, making sure that, you know, they understand the different changes, the different policy changes, and that they understand that they can be empowered to do something about the situation. Because, you know, at Siren, we don't necessarily make the distinction between an immigrant who's undocumented and an immigrant who is documented.
Oh, okay.
At some basic level, you know, we're all dealing with the same struggles. We are all getting underpaid. You know, we're striving for a better life for our kids. So, you know, we really try to make sure that immigrants, the community of immigrants in California or in the Bay Area, you know, are united, that we are, as a nation, you know, having a voice, that immigrants, you know, feel like, you know, they've been here long enough. I mean, in Silicon Valley, they've started businesses, they've generated thousands of jobs, so they should have a say in the policies that are affecting them.
Right. Exactly. It is. I mean, there's what, 12 million undocumented people in America, you mentioned?
That's right, 12 million.
And how many would be that in California, do you think?
It's about four million. We have the largest population of undocumented immigrants. And California would be the most to benefit from a comprehensive immigration reform because of it.
Mm. Hopefully they just don't spend it on a new wall or fence, though.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, trying to give more campaign contributions to our governors. We, you know, we don't know.
Exactly. And I'm speaking to Zelica Rodriguez, and she is the Policy and Advocacy Director for SIREN, which is the Services, Immigrant Rights, and Education Network in Santa Clara. And do you have any websites or emails you want to give out to, so people can check in on what's happening?
Yes. If people are interested in getting more information, we actually sent out bi-weekly newsletters to keep people updated on the policy changes and on the different actions that SIREN is either involved in or organizing. So you can contact me directly at Zelica, Z-E-L-I-C-A, at SIREN.org. And I'll make sure you're getting all the information you need. And if you have any follow-up questions regarding anything that I said, or even if you want more information, any studies that have come out, I mean, there's tons of information out right now on how the DREAM Act, on how ag jobs, comprehensive immigration reform, will benefit us as a whole country, and also how anti-immigrant policies are hurting us. So when we're talking about the economy and all that. So more information, please feel free to contact me. Again, my email address is Celica, Z-E-L-I-C-A, at Siren, S-I-R-E-N, dash Bay Area dot org. And you can also find my information on our Siren website. And that's just www.siren/bayarea.org.
Oh, great. And now one thing, you know, you're not just standing there complaining. You have got workable solutions. You've got solutions out there to really bring people into the umbrella of the country. Can you maybe explain basically what really is the community putting forward to the government as what
right.
they would like to see?
Well, something that we would like to see is an accessible path to legalization, right? You're not going to send back 12 million people. Right. That's just not going to happen. And you're not going to, I mean, how, you know, just recently Obama said, you know, we're going to send $600 million more to enforce the border. We're continuing to pump money into the border when that's not a realistic or a reasonable solution. The solutions are, let's figure out how we can, the undocumented people that are currently here, how can we integrate them into our society? How do we pull them out of the shadows? So having something that's accessible where they're able to learn English, where they're able to pay their taxes, so that they can earn their path to legalization.
Right.
Also, changing the laws for the backlogs. You know, families are being separated. We have families here, you know, people here who are coming all over the world who haven't seen their family in over 20 years. I mean, right now, if you want to file for a visa to petition your family so they can come join you from Mexico, you have to wait a minimum of 23 years.
Oh, my goodness.
That's ridiculous. Can you imagine not seeing your family?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so you're almost leaving no choice for families to come here. You know what I mean? Because the immigration system as it is does not... doesn't make any the legal system accessible for people to join their families, or for there even to be any type of possibility of them coming here. We also have to remember that immigration is not just a United States issue. It's
right.
a natural process. Historically, people will migrate to for a better life. You know, wherever there's food, wherever there's work. And what we're trying to do with, you know, militarizing the border, pumping all this money into the border, is stopping that natural process.
Right.
You know, we are the biggest supporters of NAFTA, of CAFTA, of free trade. But let us understand what those types of foreign policies are also doing and how that's impacting our immigration trends. Why we're seeing so many people coming from Mexico, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we're outsourcing companies, we're,
right.
you know, paying way below minimum wage. You know, there's always this, you know, well, these countries need to fix themselves, really, but there's U.S. foreign policy that has enabled them
right.
to sustain themselves. So what else are you going to do? And I always give the example of put yourself in a situation where you can't feed your family. Your kids aren't, you know, going to school is not even an option.
Right.
Right, you're so busy trying to figure out how you're going to get by from one day to the next. So what else are you going to do? I mean, we are the land of opportunity.
Right.
You know, we encourage people to live the American dream. At the same time, we don't take responsibility for our influence or contribution to the current immigration crisis. We always think it's, you know, all these other countries that can't fix themselves, all these other people from other countries that are coming to the United States and taking up our resources or whatever. But we don't take responsibility for our foreign policies and globalization, right? It's just a bigger issue than just what's happening in the United States. So you know, also just part of the solution is looking outside of what's happening in the United States. It's just having a deeper understanding of, you know, internationally what's happening.
Well, that's something America does lack, unfortunately, and most American people really don't know what's happening outside the borders, barely inside, unfortunately. Sorry out there, but that appears to be the case. And look at America, you know, the whole so much for family values, bringing the family together. In fact, those policies break the families apart.
Right.
So it goes, you know, again, it's a lot of hypocrisy there.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, we are seeing children in detention centers. Right? We're seeing children by themselves in detention centers. And, you know, it encourages families being apart. And that's what I meant by this country was built on fundamental values that we always pride on ourselves and say, this is what makes us great. But we are not putting those values into practice. When we look at what's happening inside and outside of the country, and when we look at our immigration laws and how they are keeping families apart, how they, you know, they continue to allow workers to get exploited, right? How we continue to allow to criminalize people who are undocumented just because they're undocumented.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that's it. Even up here in Sonoma County, there'll be these police stops, and I don't know how many times I've seen literally families left by the side of the road where they've had their car taken away in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm sorry, there's got to be a better way than that.
Right. And that's another one of our campaigns that we're going to start working on potentially is the car impoundment issue. And how racial profiling may have, does play a role in mm-hmm. the cars that are being impounded. So stay tuned, I guess.
There's a lot going on, yeah. And this whole year it's going to be boiling up, I'm sure.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Zelika, for the interview. I really appreciate all your expertise and information on this very difficult immigration issue.
No, thank you so much for having me, Arnold. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and really good luck, and keep up with the great work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Zelika.